speaking of getting connected here, this is the best kind of getting connected. When someone says something and it is factually incorrect and someone corrects us and I'm like, okay. And that could be me. Lord knows. I say things sometimes and I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of blew that one. I messed up. I said last week that there had never been a team overcome a 3-0 deficit in the Stanley Cup final. I was wrong. It was 1942 and it was the Maple Leafs and Red Wings, and it just, for some reason, I screwed that up. Anyway, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we have a getting connected with our fans here from Walshy, who said, somebody tell that dude, meaning Joe, who just called from Raleigh, Rod the Bod Brind'Amour is not even in the Hall of Fame. That is correct. He is not in the Hall of Fame. That's the fact, Joe. He is not. So there you go. That's getting connected with our fans. We're going to get connected now with our guy, Nick Mendola. I readily admit, I don't watch soccer enough. I'm not super into the strategy of the game. I don't know many of the players, if any, on the U.S. men's national team or U.S. women's national team. But I do love the pomp and circumstance of the World Cup and the Copa America and when they're playing. And I try to pay attention to what's going on because so many of you do. So last night, it just seemed very frustrating watching this. And I said, I got to get Nick on today. Day to talk about what happened in Copa America and why this team is not advancing. Good morning to you, buddy.
Hey, Sal, how are you? It is a beautiful morning, by the way. I feel like you and I are on the same page here. We have to acknowledge these things while they're happening in Buffalo. What a beautiful day.
No doubt about it. And what happened? So, all right, so what happened? What happened to this team? Why is this team not advancing? Everything I read about them, they have the most talent they've had in years, and they are obviously hitting a ceiling here. And why is that happening? Why did they hit a ceiling?
Well, there's two things at play here. One is, the power of something to alter a game and alter a tournament, and that power in sports sometimes can be a red card. The United States were playing a team they beat 9 times out of 10, maybe even better than that, earlier this week, Panama, and they took an early red card and never really recovered. They scored, but gave up 2 goals, and that means that to go from trying to make it to the next round of Copa America became, all right, well, just win your first 2 games against teams you usually beat, and then, do your best against Uruguay, to needing to beat Uruguay last night. That did not happen. And the second thing at play is, even if you want to say, oh, well, it does come down to the red card, sometimes bad things happen, there's a lot of consternation and consideration about the direction of the men's team moving forward because, as you said, Sal, an incredible amount of talent, what we call in soccer in the national team circles, a golden generation. When you have that much talent at one country that isn't necessarily a France or a Germany. And so there's just a lot of things being considered right now.
What about the coach here? I've been reading a lot about the coach, and should they change him or where he stands right now within the U.S. men's national team?
It's an extremely tricky situation, and we know a lot about this. Even it's even happened in football, less so in football, but we're talking about player power. Greg Berhalter, after the World Cup, there was a crazy situation off the field that a lot of you remember. It's not even worth getting into, but they went through a rehiring process, basically. They brought him back because the young players on this team, who are their best players, were comfortable there. And that was enough reason. And honestly, whether you agree with it or not, and we see it in the NBA all the time, that seemed fair because you're only with your national team maybe once every couple of months. So the most important thing is that everybody can get together quickly, coalesce, and be on their best. But this was a Copa America on home soil. Bolivia and Panama, it was basically considered, yeah, well, you're going to win those and go to the knockout rounds, and then can you perform against Brazil or Colombia, who are likely next? Well, they didn't even get out of there. And when a failure of that disproportion to expectation happens in any sport, you're going to consider the direction of the team.
Nick Mendola joining me here on the West Her Hotline. What about the offsides last night, non-offsides? What happened in that situation? If people didn't, I didn't see it till later. I had turned it on just after that particular situation, but it appeared to me, from what everybody was tweeting about and talking about, that should not have been a goal.
Yeah, it's really difficult to not get those explanations. It's what CONCACAF, which is the governing body of and CONMEBOL, the governing bodies of North and South American soccer, they were flirting with the idea. They had several times in this tournament had the referee come out and, much like the NFL or NHL, explain why the decision was made. That did not really happen last night. It's hard for me to say absolutely. One of the biggest problems that we have in the United States is, this happened when Lionel Messi went to play Sporting Kansas City with Miami. They moved the game to Arrowhead. Well, Arrowhead has different angles, different camera angles. Is it technically set up? And so we are unsure. We didn't get the exacting standards we expect of a major tournament for the lines to be drawn to see if it was offside by VAR. And there are angles you can look at, which are all taken. We've done this in football, right? We talk about it with the laser-guided fourth down. Mm-hmm. Did that cross the line? Well, that's essentially what happened last night. To the naked eye, it definitely looked like he was offside. There are other angles, depending on where you were drawing the line. Honestly, whenever this happens, Sal, do you know what it reminds me of? In the home run throwback the next day in the Buffalo News, there were like diagrams about how the world was spinning, so clearly it was a backwards pass.
Right.
It's just very tricky. So, yes, it seemed like that was going to be overruled at the time. But there's just no definitive camera angle. The corner kicks, because it was played. Remember when the Bill Stadium, they were talking about why don't we get national games here? And it's like, well, it's too close to the corners. That was also the case. This was just an unideal situation to try and get more people into a game.
So what's funny is, and interesting, you're talking about this, and I'm thinking, Jeremy and I went on a new stadium tour a couple weeks ago, and we learned a lot. Before we actually did the hard hat tour, we learned a lot from John Polk and the great folks down there and Frank Corvada at the Bills Stadium. And they said one of the really big things, like the most important things for the league, is camera angles for their networks. And they said, you can design this and design that, but if you walk in and they say, nope, NBC or CBS and ESPN aren't going to like this, you have to redo where you did it. They take into account so much of that. It feels like here, that's not necessarily the case when it comes to these soccer matches. They kind of just want to put it in places where they can kind of grow the game a little bit in some areas.
Yeah, you know, that's partly true. Kansas City is one of our spiritual homes for soccer. Atlanta as well. Okay. Just people in Buffalo love to have it there, but this is an old stadium. The soccer stadium, Arrowhead gets 30,000-40,000 more people than the soccer stadium there.
Right.
And if you're going to get $50 a seat, I mean, we all know money's going to talk. Let's not pretend that they're going to do something for the sporting purity of the game. But you're right. That's the difference, though, is these when they play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which is also the home of Atlanta United, if they were to, and we know we're all hoping for it, and even the county executive talked about it when they announced the stadium, if there's a big soccer game here, these stadiums are better prepared for it. They suit their camera angles out. This was just, it just wasn't the case last night, and it hurt the U.S. in an underdog situation where every goal was going to matter because Uruguay is a better team than the United States, and that's no shame.
Nick, what is the state of soccer in the U.S. right now, all the way from the U.S. men's national team down to, 6 and 7 year olds playing? What's the state of the game in this country right now?
It's still growing. It always is. But we're in a very interesting time. And that's because the U.S. women's national team, so long, the pillars of the sport. They inspired investment, Sal, in so many other countries, so that the U.S. no longer walks into every tournament knowing they're going to win almost every game until they get to Brazil or France or Germany. So they have a new coach they brought over from England, and they have a big Olympics coming up. The men's team is hosting World Cup in 2026. Not many nations get to do this in their history. So this is why the coach conversation is so pivotal, because you do not get a lot of the hosts almost always do well in these major tournaments. So this is a tremendous opportunity for the United States. And will they be able to take advantage of it? Because Greg Berhalter, their current coach, he's a good coach. He's a fine coach. There are better game day coaches. And will the U.S. opt for, well, this guy is liked by our players and we're not going to fall flat on our faces more often than not? Or will they look to be their very best? And so that is really the state right now. The women's team has opted against the player power. Not the player power, that's the wrong way to put it, but they have hired one of the best coaches in the world from Chelsea. She does have connection to the United States, but everyone is excited at who's in charge there. To say that there were fire Greg chants last night at the stadium. Everyone's not inspired by him.
Do you like the locations of the World Cup coming here? Toronto, Philly, New York, New Jersey, Miami, Boston, Atlanta. Those are really the ones closest in the East. There's a lot more, obviously. Do you like the locations they chose?
I mean, obviously, I wanted them in Buffalo. But, that was not going to happen. Yeah, I do. I there are some places I would have liked to see the games. But when we talk about, money and what's going to happen, these situations were always going to occur. The problem I face is if you are anywhere within reason of Toronto, it's not a gigantic stadium. it's going to be, you're going to get priced out there. It's so difficult to imagine, unless it is, you know, countries without huge, you know, if Qatar is playing, I'm trying to think of another nation that doesn't travel well or is from another part of the world, it's going to be very difficult to get into, say, Germany versus the United States or Canada versus France if the game is in Toronto. So that's the only thing I don't like, but I think that's a problem at almost every World Cup in a developed nation.
Nick Mendola, owner FC Buffalo. Let's talk about the future of soccer in Buffalo. A new stadium coming. We know that the stadium's not going to be built per size for a World Cup, but they will be able to play professional soccer here in the way that they can lay it out. I've learned a lot about this and how it can happen, and I do expect soccer matches to be held there. All High Stadium, you guys play there. You have different venues you've, you know, played in around Western New York. What is the future of Western New York soccer, especially with the new stadium coming?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll start with the, I don't want to say the elephant in the room, but something that a lot of people have been talking about, and that is the USL Championship trying, and Peter Marlette, and basically Buffalo Soccer trying to build a soccer-specific stadium here in Western New York. That would be such a boon, because if you have a gigantic stadium like the Bills Stadium that could play host to the, you know, the biggest games possible, and you also have a second venue that is world-class, state-of-the-art, that you can have smaller games, and it opens you up to so much. And so we're at the same way. Look, Buffalo has, and this is why I encourage everyone who's looking to develop, Buffalo has a turf shortage for a place that is so weather dependent. It is unfortunately very important that you have more opportunities to safely play and safely grow the game. And I love what's going on in Buffalo. I love the intentions of what's going on in Buffalo. And here's hoping we continue to see the business community step up to support the excellent soccer fans of Western New York. I'm at All High Stadium right now. They redid it. I know you've been here a lot for football sale. It is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Big blue Buffalo at center. We're running a free camp right now through FC Buffalo for, it's basically a free training camp for kids who are going into high school next year and trying to make out varsity for Buffalo Public Schools. And I'm out here watching a bunch of kids play, and they are thrilled to have the opportunity to be on high class, world-class turf, you know, when they're outside of school. And we need more of that in Buffalo, and more community programming. And I'm on my soapbox now, so I'll stop. But you get the
good
idea. Nothing is going to stop it. The Bills Stadium allows for the potential of a national team playing here, allows for the potential of when Manchester United comes here to play Barcelona in a friendly, you know, those things to happen in Buffalo. The idea of a soccer-specific USL championship stadium allows for so much more. It allows you to, and frankly, let's let Buffalo become the hub, so when there are state finals for high school, when there are state finals for tournaments, that we can bring those events to Buffalo, which is really what I would love to see more of. Even when I was playing 25 years ago in high school, Sal, you went to Rochester for the regionals. You went downstate for the finals. Let's bring, Buffalo is such a great hub for this sort of thing.
There are people listening right now who might just be learning all these things for the first time, Nick, to be honest with you, right? Because it's not necessarily a sport we truly cover and talk about a lot. And when these kinds of things happen, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know FC Buffalo was right here. I didn't know about All High Stadium. How can people kind of learn more, get more involved, be a part of, you know, what's happening in the growth of soccer here?
Well, first of all, I'll just give you my email and I'll put you in the right direction. If you care about different spots of sports or you just want to ask, nick@fcbuffalo.org. I would be thrilled to have that opportunity. But there are so many other great avenues. We have a lot of high-level Division One and Division Two and Division Three soccer going on in the fall with some good role models. Obviously I'm biased, but I love what we're doing with FC Buffalo. We get these youth clubs out to watch our women's team and our men's team, and you get a role model situation. I've talked to so many girls who are playing now, and they're in their 18s, 19s, 20s, even on our women's team. And you know what they can reference? They can reference when the Western New York Flash were here as a professional team before they moved to the club. And you had Alex Morgan and Marta and Christine Sinclair. You had literally the best soccer team on earth at the time playing out of Western New York, and it had a foothold, and it didn't get the chance to really reach its peak because of the realities, financial realities of the sport. The point is, we can point to role models now of every skin color, of every creed, of every denomination, and you can find an example of at least one who has represented the United States women's national team or the United States men's national team. Now we have to give these inspired kids an opportunity, a platform, and a place to grow their games to the next level. And I'm excited. This is just a boys camp we're running right now at Al-High Stadium, and I can look out there, and we have players from the Burmese immigrant community. We have players from North Buffalo. We have players from City Honors, McKinley, Hutch Tech, players from the Yemeni community. And these are all kids playing together right now, just running drills with our coaches, who are players who, by the way, themselves, college players from Brazil and Germany in terms of the coaches we have today. And while I have this, I want to thank Dom Massaro, who has helped us put this together, the boys' high school soccer director. But that's the thing. Can we give more of a platform? I get excited about this stuff, Dale. Can we give more of a platform to these inspired players to get to a high level, to get to their highest level?
I love it. Listen, man, you talk about this the way I talk about grassroots football. You know that, right? I mean, like, I'm just, you know, I love it. And I think that, you know, the more that we can do to be advocates for the games and for our youth playing and boys and girls in different avenues, I mean, I think it's totally awesome. By the way, at Nicholas Mendola, if you want to follow Nick on social media, on Twitter, you can learn more. Nick@FCBuffalo.com. Real quick before I let you go, I loved your analogy. I said, what happened to this team last night? 15 minutes I watched. I was frustrated. Seemed like there were a lot of chances. You said, I'll compare it to having a red zone problem. I loved that.
Yeah, we move the ball up and down the field. We have a very decent defense, but you got to finish. And it's got to be more than Christian Pulisic. Unfortunately, their center forward, Fuller and Balligan, who's an excellent young player, was injured about 41 minutes in. And they just never found that footing. So they'll get there. It's just a matter of, are they best positioned to do their best at the final stage? It is on a lesser scale because we've had less success in U.S. soccer than we have on the Bills. It is what some people make when they have the Sean McDermott discussion. So what do you know there's someone better out there? You better know there's someone better if you're going to move on
right.
from someone who has had a good domestic level. Two things, and I'll be very quick here. We do have three home games this week, and I know you told me I could talk about this. So
sure.
We have three home games this week. Our men play tonight. It's for playoff position. If we win, we'll be in the driver's seat.
Nice.
And our women play Friday and Sunday. If they win both of those games, they will be division champs for the fourth straight year. Our women's team is spectacular. We literally, outside of the playoffs, I think have lost four games in 4 years. And I would absolutely love that. And then the only other thing I want to say is, if you go to betterworld.fcbuffalo.org, we are fundraising to run more camps like this. We have a signed Josh Allen jersey, a signed Bruno Fernandez jersey, a signed Erling Haaland ball. That's betterworld.fcbuffalo.org.
And you can just, if you want to learn more about the team itself, look at their schedule, all that, fcbuffalo.org, betterworld.fcbuffalo.org for the fundraising aspect as well. Nick, thanks. This was really fun. I appreciate it. I always appreciate your knowledge kind of helping me a little bit with the game, because like I said, I like watching from afar. I don't get into it. So when these kinds of things happen, I have to reach out to people like you.
Yeah, and listen, you and I are the way you talk about football is the same way I am about soccer. The difference is, like you, and this is why I'm going to win you over, I was a hockey, baseball, football guy growing up. I didn't play soccer till I was 14. So we're going to get you out here, and you're going to appreciate it even more. But, yeah, thanks. And congrats on everything. I really appreciate you having me around.
All right, you got it, Nick. Thanks. We'll catch up down the road. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, Sal.
All right, Nick Mendola. Good stuff right there. FCBuffalo.org. U.S. men's national team last night. Tough loss against Uruguay. And again, I will not pretend to know a lot about the soccer that's going on, like the U.S. men's national team or with the women when they're playing. But I love watching when they're playing in big matches because it matters to people, and I want it to matter and talk about it and know. And, you know, last night was tough. 15 minutes, I'm watching the last 15 minutes, and they're getting close. They can't score, and it was getting frustrating. We'll take a timeout. All right, so we're going to do a real quick segment. We come back then, the top of the hour. Coley Harvey of ESPN is going to join me. We'll set that up after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.